Some years ago, I was speaking to a lady who was quite elderly, and certain things had happened just before that in her life, and the situation had changed. And before that, again, there were other things that had occurred and brought about quite a bit of alteration in the way that she lived. And when I was speaking to her, she was quite downcast because she realized that things for her would never be quite the same again. And as best I could, in speaking to her, I certainly sympathized with her and acknowledged that this was something that through life, in some degree or another, happens to us all. And it is at these times when we can't really put our finger upon what is going to happen in the future because we don't know. And we are distressed and we are just wondering what the days ahead hold for us. It is then that we need that faith. Faith to rest upon the promises and the love and the sovereignty of the one who brought us from darkness to light. I hope I helped her and encouraged her. And when I was thinking of the country now, I remembered her. And folks, while I am not a conspiracy theorist, I don't know everything that's happening, and neither do you. But there are some people, and these are not foolish people trying to get a name for themselves. These people are, in my opinion, very intelligent and level-headed people. They're beginning to wonder, are things ever going to be quite normal again? Or is it going to be up and down every year, certainly for the foreseeable future and a number of years ahead? We really don't know. And in these difficult days, challenging times, alarming times, sometimes when people are, many of us feel like that lady, and we wonder, are things in the future going to be all right as we see it, or is things generally just going to get worse? I'm thinking here of the Christian church, and we know and have been reminded in recent times that things and all the things that we enjoy and the great freedom we have, that could all change. Maybe not overnight, but it could change. And today, as I draw your attention to this passage, I thought it was a good passage to turn to, because it says there that whenever the Lord spoke unto Abram to get out of his country, he went into a land that I will show thee. He didn't know yet. He wasn't told where it was. And yet we see in the word here in verse 4 that Abraham departed. He heard what the Lord had to say to him, and away he went. And Abraham, folks, is one of the, and I don't seek to undermine anyone or belittle anyone in Scripture, any Christian man, but he is one of the most outstanding believers in the Bible. To this day, you know that the Jews hold him in very high esteem, but every saved person thinks very highly of Abraham and all that Abraham did. It's very interesting here in Hebrews 11 even that there's basically a verse tells us a little bit about Abel and a little bit about Enoch, but there's 12 verses, we didn't read them all, in Hebrews 11 that are given to Abraham. And those 12 verses summarize basically 14 chapters in the book of Genesis that tell us about some of the activity of Abraham. Now, we know that where he lived, Chaldea, was known as, regarded as quite a civilized place. It was quite cultured. It was spoken of in other places as somewhere that was quite a notable seat of learning there. And there, it was known as well for its commercial benefit to people. And around about the built up areas, agriculture was very highly developed. And for all of that, idolatry was rife. There was no room in many lives for God. And one day, Abraham, who belonged to Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to him. I've already mentioned that to you, and things were never the same again. Things were never the same again for Abraham. Things happen in our lives, and things are never the same again for us. Things might be happening now in the nation, and things might not be quite as we knew it ever again. So we need to have this faith that we can rest upon God, who never changes, and never changes in his love toward his church, and that includes you and me, and cannot be put off track as far as his great plan and purpose is concerned. Those thoughts in themselves bring contentment to your heart. So the title this morning is The Incentive That Faith Gives. The incentive that faith gives. And as I bring to your attention just a few things regarding Abraham here, I trust they'll help you. I don't know all of your circumstances. I've often said here, if I can help you, I want to do that. But I am not a prior. I will not pry and pick your brain and try and find out your business if you want to keep it to yourself. But certainly if there's anything I can do to help you, I will. But I know this, that very often all of us find ourselves having to go forward in faith. If we're going to go forward, just like Abraham, if Abraham was going to progress as he could do, he had to go in faith. Didn't know it all, but he believed the Lord, and he listened to the Lord, and he acted upon what God said to him. The incentive that faith gives. Notice here, first of all, quite briefly, there is punctuality. If you look there in Genesis chapter 12, in the beginning, that first verse, he was told to go into the land that the Lord would show him. And verse 4, we've mentioned, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He didn't hang around when he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, when God speaks to us, sometimes right away almost a question comes in to our mind. It is sort of, but what then, or how, or but what will I do, or what will I, how will I act in the days ahead, if I've made a mistake here? Well, if God's speaking clearly to you, he will show you the next step when you need to know the next step. The important thing here for Abraham was that he acted punctually. He acted right away when God spoke unto him. You think of the Apostle Paul when he was converted in the book of Acts chapter 9, where he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's good for me and you to say that every day. What wilt thou have me to do? Of course, there are things that are laid down in God's word that we should do every day. We know what we should do in this day. We should come to worship the Lord. We know what we should do every day as far as worshiping the Lord privately is concerned. But if you look there in Acts chapter 10, something else, just quickly. Acts chapter 10. You have Peter here up on the housetop, verse 9. He's up there praying. And if you look, and I will not take time this morning to go down through it all. If you look from verses 11 right down to verse 16, you will see that Peter, he needed to learn that his prejudice, and that's what he had. He was prejudiced against the Gentiles. That prejudice would hinder his usefulness. And it's good for me when God shows me something that might hinder my usefulness. But if you look there, providentially, when God had taught him this important lesson, the men from Cornelius' household, they arrived. And wasn't he now prepared? And did you notice how he prepared? He prepared in the place of prayer. That's where it all began. It says there in verse 9 that Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And folks, when a man or woman is in constant communion with the Lord, it makes obeying him promptly and punctually so much easier. The Lord did not have to go way out to Abraham and find him involved up to his neck in some the spirit of the age or some worldly sinful activity and take a dealing with him and sort him out and then say, listen, here's what I want you to do right away. Because he was in touch with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him and he acted punctually on what the Lord said to him. I would never, and I trust you know this, seek to put myself on the same level as Abraham. But whenever the Lord spoke to us, to me, concerning full-time work, we were just married a while and we'd just begun a family. And I needed to know the Lord had been dealing with my heart. But I didn't obey him as punctually as I might have. Just being honest with you. I didn't obey him as punctually. And I asked for the Lord to allow certain things, not dictating signs and wonders, but for certain things to come to pass and so on, that would be an indicator. And that happened, and I still didn't act punctually. I should have. And young person, if the Lord direct, now I'm not speaking about a whim. Outside, there are lots of people who have acted on a whim and have messed it up. And they're so, perhaps they wouldn't want to tell you that. But they acted on a whim or on bitterness. I'm not in Facebook, but I'm told that if you go and you trace through Facebook faithfully, or not faithfully, but very carefully, you will find bitterness. And you will find there are people who acted on a whim and they are displaying this bitterness. That's not following the Lord. Abraham followed the Lord here with the right spirit. And he followed him punctually. And young person, if the Lord is indicating to you that he wants you to do something for him, you pray on. Just as Peter was up on the rooftop there seeking the Lord, and the Lord had to take a dealing with his heart. And I suppose the best advice that I could give to you would be the advice that was given to me. If you get to that point where you feel that there's nothing else you'd rather do, you want to do, you feel you should do, it wouldn't matter how much fame or how much money would be involved in, you don't want to do it. You want to do a certain thing for the Lord, be it a missionary or a minister. Then you've got to that point where once you know that, the best thing to do is act punctually. Because God's work is going on. God's work requires laborers now. And for all of us in any area of our life, when it comes to serving the Lord and seeking to do what we can for him, think of the words in John where Mary said to the people concerning the Lord Jesus, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the Lord said to Abram, and Abram did it. So the first thing here that shows his faith was there, and the incentive was faith. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't go. He'd have to weigh it all up for a long time. And then maybe come to the conclusion, well, it's cultured here. There's some nice people about here in spite of everything. And I'm well off. I have a good agricultural situation here. And I'm not going. He didn't do that. But he went out in faith. Because the Lord said to him, unto a land that I will show thee. First of all, there was punctuality. But then there was, and this ties in with what we just said, there was actual practicality. Because if you look there in verse 4, it shows us that he actually departed. He didn't hang around and think, well, should I or shouldn't I? But rather, he was actually active. You can imagine what that would have entailed. But he did what he had to do. And it shows us over there, I read it again, or part of it again, in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abram, when he called to go out in a place that he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He had to gather up a lot of others and to bring them with him. And yes, he made his mistakes. And once or twice he didn't behave as well as he should have. But he acted practically. You see, and this would take quite a long time this morning, if you were looking there in the book of James and chapter 2, James 2 and verse 17, James says, even so faith, and that's what we're talking about today, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now, we know that the great Martin Luther, he didn't like the book of James. I think I'm right in saying that he even questioned its authenticity as far as beginning belonging to the canon of scripture is concerned. Because James has so much to say about work, but James does not in any place say that you're saved by works. Yes, he emphasizes the importance of them, and I think he was right to do that. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then if you look on down, there's another verse there, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You see, if a person is saved, they will want to have an act of faith, want to do something. Now, not everyone will be able to go out to a mission field and establish a mission station. Not everyone will preach. Not everyone will even be able to involve themselves in door-to-door work, that kind of thing, or a whole lot of other things, but everyone will do something. Everyone can pray at home. I always go back to that. Never to minimize its importance, but to show that it's something that everyone can do. The important thing to notice here is that he was active whenever the Lord spoke to him about what he to get up and to get out of the country. Over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, maybe you would turn to that, please. We're looking here at practicality. And the title is The Incentive That Faith Gives. It enabled Abraham to act punctually and to follow the Lord's will right away. But also practically, actually doing something, not sitting thinking about it or talking about it. But over here in Luke chapter 5, you see that the disciples were out fishing, and Peter and them, and it hadn't been going very well. And in verse 4 it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. If you know anything about, and I've mentioned this before, I think the fishing in that area, the best fishing wasn't in the deep part, it was in the shallower water. So he's saying already here, you go out there, and Peter's maybe thinking, well, what do you mean? There's no good, no fish out there. Well, the Lord says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, or Peter answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Then here's the secret. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He was going to be active. He wasn't going to argue all day with the Lord. He wasn't going to sit and negotiate, should we go out or should we just stay in the shallower water where we usually be? But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, he let down the net. And we know that there wasn't closed a great multitude of fishes that their net break. A great example of a man acting in faith. And a man actually not just believing what God said, but then doing what the Lord said. And that practicality is so important today, folks. That's why we continue as best we can with this pandemic. We continue to have missions, to have special weeks of meetings, to have testimony nights, and to have our regular services, which are the most important, by the way. To have our regular meetings and our regular things in the church, because faith is active. There was not only here punctuality and practicality, but I want to move on and say that there was possibility. When Abraham heard the Lord speaking to him and he left her, that was merely the first step of him following the Lord at that time in faith. And for us, sometimes we struggle maybe to get off in that first step of faith. But when we do it, we've often experienced that God leads from one step to another step. And I may be speaking to someone this morning here or someone listening in another place, and you're a little bit apprehensive about taking that first step and doing something for the Lord because you're wondering where the next step's going to go. Well, let's think of Psalm 37, where it says in verse 23 of that psalm, the steps of a good man are ordered. And the word ordered there is a word that means established. The steps of a good man or woman are established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then he shows us our humanity and our frailty. He says, though he fall, and sometimes we can fall as far as our faith is concerned, believing what God has promised. We can fall concerning our seeking God in prayer. We can fall and fail concerning our serving him. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Then it says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. So here you have the man or woman who's following after the Lord one step at a time, and the Lord is establishing his steps. See that first step that you may be thinking of taking in following the Lord? Maybe doing something here or in your work for the Lord. The next step is already in the mind of God, and that's where it's okay there at the present time. We don't need to know it. But it says here, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, bearing that in mind, the word upholdeth there is a word which is used through the Bible in various places, and it refers to God holding you up. Over there in Isaiah chapter 26, and here's an important one for us today. When you consider what I said at the start of not really knowing the way ahead, maybe things never quite the same again. It says in verse 3 of Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Or if you look at the margin there, in the Hebrew is a double emphasis. The word means peace, peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, and again the word here is thought, whose mind or thought is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Do you see where it says stead? That is the same word. It's the word semak. The same word that we read just a moment ago there in Psalm 37, that the Lord would uphold him. So the Lord, men and women, will uphold us as we continue to follow after him and as we give ourselves to following after his voice. I can go back again, please, to Genesis chapter 12. And we're looking here at the possibility of his faith for him. In verse 4, it says that he departed. But in verse 5, it says he went forth. And in verse 6, you'll notice there that it says he passed through. You're noticing something here. He's on the go. He's on the go now for the Lord. He's passing through. And if you and I will, let's say we feel that we're not doing what we could or should for the Lord, and if we will depart, as it were, if we will give ourselves to doing that and actually go forth to do it in activity, and then the Lord will help us to pass through, he'll help us to pass through difficulties and hurdles and setbacks and disappointments. He'll help us to pass through that. Look at verse 8. It says, and he removed from thence. He didn't get well in. He was continually looking to the Lord. Remember what the Lord had said, unto the land that I will show thee. He wasn't there yet. Nowhere else was going to do apart from the place where the Lord had for him. In verse 9 again, and Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. I wonder, can I say to myself today that I'm going on still? Going on still, following after the Lord, following him in faith. And the possibility is there, folks, for all of us to be led on by the Lord through the difficulties. Very, very easy to stop off at halfway house and to think, well, that'll do. I'm not following the Lord anymore. There is the possibility, and as I've said before here, among older folk and certainly among younger people, tremendous potential. Tremendous potential. But we love comfort. and we like company, doing what everybody else does. And we like sometimes to follow our own will, just as I did. And I told you that I didn't follow the Lord as punctually as I should have. Now we know that he is sovereign over all, but I didn't follow him as punctually as I should have, as far as I thought. I'm just an ordinary person. Thought of all the work I'd have to do, thought of the change that it would bring in my life. Didn't do it as punctually as I should have. Do it punctually. Because you cannot limit God, and you don't know the great possibility and potential that you have for the Lord. I want you to notice something else here about him. Notice his peculiarity. If you knew Abraham, and he was there, considerably well off, and man of influence, certainly his family circle had a great deal of confidence in him, and he was seemed to be quite well established where he was. And when he began to gather everything together, would people have thought that he was, that there was something, I'll not use the word crazy, but something very strange happening? Folk, they might think that about you if you follow the Lord. People might think that you are a peculiar person. I know that whenever we moved to England, person maybe didn't mean it in the wrong spirit, but whenever I said I was going, and I actually said to a minister, a senior minister was talking to me, I said, I wouldn't change where I'm going right now for any other church in the presbytery, and I mean that. He says, this is the place for me at this time in my life, and it was. And Cherith feels the same about that. That was the place for us to go. But a person said to me, I would need it written down in black and white. It really knocked me back a bit. I had the word, lots of words from the Lord. I had they knew the need was there, and I had that tendency myself more and more towards that place, even though it was a very difficult place to go to. And then I needed down in black and white, and I thought, I think I'm mad. And I want to show you something regarding that over in the book of Exodus. Wherever you go, and again, I don't just preach to young people, but young person, wherever you go, remember this. It's Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. It says there, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, he's talking to the Israelites, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You will be a peculiar treasure. Sometimes we may look like peculiar fools to the world, but the Lord here says, a peculiar treasure. And the expression peculiar treasure there means something which is select. It is a word that is used regarding the riches in Solomon, that Solomon had. Peculiar treasure. But here it is, we're talking about the Lord's peculiar treasure. That's what you are. Something that is select, something that is beyond price, that is really, really precious. That's what we are to him. Something that is endeared. And it also means something that is exceedingly prized. What does the Lord want from you? You can give all your money. Instead of giving a tithe, you can give 20%. That would be encouraging for the Lord. Well, it wouldn't grieve him anyway. But you know, the Bible says that to obey is better than to sacrifice. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to follow him in faith, just as Abraham did. Just as he says here, if you will be my peculiar treasure, my select ones, my precious people, my endeared people, that which is exceedingly prized by me, then the Lord shows here that they will be, that everything will be for him. He will be unto them all that they need. If you keep my covenant, then ye shall be my peculiar treasure. Great thing, men and women, to obey the Lord in spite of whatever the world might have to say. Maybe you look at, just when we're here, at Deuteronomy chapter 14. says there in verse 2, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself." So don't find it strange that the young person at school, don't find it strange that some others find you a bit strange because of your Christian principles and beliefs. You're the Lord's peculiar person. Chapter 26 of the same book in Deuteronomy there, chapter 26, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised that thou shouldst keep all his commandments." And what in these difficult times, uncertain days, the Lord's still calling out people for his name. He still wants his church to go forth in faith. Just because we don't know what the future holds and we worry about our liberty and all of those things, the work's going on right now. And he wants us to do it right now. Can't sit back. I can't sit back for the next couple of years and wonder, will things level out in the countryside and be more opportunity to serve the Lord? Need to do it now. To go forth in faith now, following him. Possibility there then, this was the peculiarity. And I want to say also concerning that, if you haven't been one who has given your life, you can make up for lost time. You can make up for lost time. I'm not one for burying people who make mistakes or for who get it wrong. The most manly thing to do is to say, "I got it wrong," and to try and make it right. Now, we can't have the years back, but the Bible assures us that the Lord can restore to us the years that the locusts have eaten. You may think, well, I've wasted a year. I've wasted 10 years. The Lord can give to us in what time we have left such usefulness that will make up for that lost time. And that is a tremendous offer to all of us today and a challenge to us today. I want you to notice then, finally here, there's a thought of profitability. Profitability. Whenever Abraham went out, the Lord did promise here that he would make of him a great nation, that he would bless him, that he would make his name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He couldn't really have said much more by way of encouragement to Abraham. Someone said regarding this that God wonderfully multiplies our simple acts of faith and obedience. God wonderfully multiplies our simple acts of faith and obedience. And all that the Lord promised to Abraham, the Lord was able to do. He's able to do. I want to just read again in Deuteronomy and chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, I think I referred to these verses the night that I was installed in Bridlington all them years ago, nearly 22 years ago. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and it's verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commands of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." As I said, England was a hard place. I knew that. But I knew this passage as well. Knew the possibility of turning aside out of the way. If you know a Christian today that has turned aside out of the way, you know that and so do they. The best thing that you can do as a friend is say, "Listen, if you got it right, wrong, you can put it right." And there's no profit in going on in the bitterness and the way that you're presently going. But get back into step with the Lord. Get back into knowing his blessing and to being a blessing. As I said, Abraham didn't get everything right. He made his mistakes, but overall, he was a great man. He made a difference. And folks, that's what we want to do. So let's not get completely captivated by the difficulties of the day. Personal level, things change. Certainly difficulties come. National level, who knows where the change is going to end? Change might come radically and quickly, and it might not be near as severe as people think. Some people think. I don't know. But I know this, that if we go forward in faith, and if the incentive that drives you and I is faith in what God has said, then we will continue to know his blessing upon us. May the Lord help you, encourage you, strengthen you in your service for him.